Welcome to the Ideas Lab Predictor podcast from the University of Birmingham. In each edition, we hear from an expert in a different field who gives us insider information on key trends, upcoming events, and what they think the near future holds.
Today, we're with Professor Isabel Smeagin, who is Professor of Marketing at Birmingham Business School. So, Isabel, what do you do exactly?
Well, as you say, I'm Professor of Marketing and I teach marketing and particularly consumer behaviour to undergraduates, master's students and MBA students. And in my research, I'm particularly interested in the interface between suppliers and consumers. So what suppliers do and how consumers respond to what they do.
And a lot of your recent research has been around alcohol and binge drinking.
That's correct. I'm very interested both in how consumers consume alcohol. I'm interested in how suppliers look to market certain kinds of drinks and how they do it. And also I'm very interested in what governments do around the problem of binge drinking and also social marketing. How can we educate people in different ways? Can we change their behaviour and so on?
So a lot of people would agree that binge drinking is a problem in Britain today, but they would see it as a problem of the younger generation, that it's a young people's problem.
I think the thing that we really need to think about is the complexity of the situation. And it isn't always the same as the news headlines. First of all, we know that binge drinking is a problem in the whole of Europe. There is lots of data to show that people throughout European countries regularly binge drink. It's also not a problem just of young people. There is data to show that people even over the age of 55 in Europe binge drink something like 18% of the time. Another factor is the General Household Survey, for example, that looks at the amount people drink, shows that there is in fact a levelling off of the increase in alcohol consumption recently. What there does appear to be a problem is that there are still quite a large number of young people, so we're talking about underage drinkers under the age of 18, and possibly those also between the age of 18 and 23 or 24, that are drinking excessively. So what I'm saying is that while many people are drinking quite a lot, the big problem is in a small number of people drinking to excess.
So the obvious question is, why? Why is this happening?
Well, there have been cultural and structural changes in the places that people can drink in Britain. What we found is a huge increase in density in those kinds of club places. These are places not like the old-fashioned pubs, and those indeed have been closing down in recent years. These are places where typically there are clubs concentrated in one or two streets. In Manchester, over a period of 4 years, there was an increase in something like 240% in just a very restricted area there. Typically, these kinds of clubs are what they call vertical drinking establishments. People stand up to drink. They don't sit around and chat over a drink for a long period of time. The kind of alcohol that is typically sold in these places tends to be stronger. So rather than drinking 4% alcohol by volume, lager or beer, young people are drinking wine, and wine typically is 12% alcohol by volume, or indeed vodka and shots.
Is it really a matter of price, just that drinking is cheap, it's a cheap activity?
A lot of people argue that price isn't the issue, and again, government spokespeople have suggested that it would be unfair to raise the price of alcohol because there are a lot of other people that are drinking sensibly at that price. But it's price and distribution, I think, that one has to look at. It's where people are drinking and it's how people are drinking as well. And the encouragement is very often to drink a lot of alcohol in a short period of time. The vertical drinking establishments, the places where people stand up around the bar, encourage people to drink their alcohol very rapidly. And this is something that lots of young people do. Again, throughout Europe, young people report that they may not drink for a week or so, and then they drink to excess once or twice a week. Also, there does tend to be an increase in discounting in these kinds of establishments. If you've got a large number of clubs in one street, that means an increased level of competition as well. So the tendency is for these places to have, again, special nights. Things like a pound a pint night is typical in student cities and towns. So I would suggest that the nature of the places that you can drink, along with the price of the alcohol, does, if you like, lead to particular types of behaviour, particularly for younger people who want to drink and dance and socialise. So the whole nature of the way they drink and the types of drinks that young people typically, if you like, grow up on are very different to previous generations.
This kind of drinking is causing problems for the people that are doing it in terms of their health, possibly ending up in fights and with problems with the police, and also for neighbours and for everyone else has to deal with the disruptive behaviour. Well, it's making lots of money for other people. So what's the answer?
Well, I do think that we have to deal with the fact that there are conflicting priorities here. Of course, we want our cities to thrive, and the nighttime economy has become very important. But if we do want to tackle binge drinking, I think we have got to look at this in a number of different ways. We have got to, in my opinion, reduce the density of these drinking streets. Now, I know that some people argue that it is better to have one street with these pubs and clubs. They're contained. It means that other people know not to go there because that's the place where the police also like to be able to contain them. But I think in the longer term, we have to look at trying to reduce that. There are a number of interventions that have been used both in the UK and in the States that I do think we really ought to consider. One of them that I think has been quite successful in Wales has been the use of nurse practitioners talking to young people who have ended up in A&E.
So these are people who've been injured in a drink-related incident?
Absolutely. It's always people that have had some kind of injury that has resulted from drinking too much alcohol. And then afterwards they talk to a nurse, the nurse talks to them about the amount of alcohol they're drinking, and there does seem to be some evidence that that is helping. In the States, other measures have been looked at, and particularly on campus drinking is the idea of social norms. The Harvard Business School in particular has done some work on this, which has been to actually question the amount that young people drink. You'd have posters saying, you think that it's normal to drink 10 pints of beer. In fact, your colleagues are only drinking 2 pints of beer. So actually tackling what people think is normal in drinking. And there is some evidence, again, in the States that this has worked. This does not seem to have been tackled as yet here, but I think it is something, again, possibly within something like a campus university environment, one could consider having a go at.
Measures around trying to educate people as to what's normal, or nurses talking to people in hospital, or trying to change attitudes, which, while that might be an ideal way to do it, is quite a tough way to change things.
Trying to change attitudes is one of the most difficult things. And it's particularly difficult in an environment where drinking, after all, is normal. It's a legal activity. It's encouraged, it's advertised, and so on. Obviously, the idea is that one is not going to drink to extreme. However, personally, I think that we have to look at the supply side in a more systematic way. So I would sort of say that the initiatives regarding pricing, Sir Liam Donaldson has suggested a minimum price for alcohol, really should be considered. I would suggest that different kinds of promotions should really be managed as well. It horrifies me the number of promotions in the large retail outlets for spirits in particular. We are being, on the one hand, encouraged to purchase cheap alcohol, and on the other, we're expecting young people not to do, in a sense, what we do. And therefore, I think that it is beholden on us grown-ups, older people, government, policymakers, and the suppliers of alcohol to think of other ways of managing the problem, and at the same time recognising that young people will drink. They want to drink. It's part of their social lives.
Professor Isabel Smeagin, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This podcast and others in the series are available on the Ideas Lab website, www.ideaslabuk.com. On the website, you can find out how to email us with comments, questions, or suggestions for future topics for the podcast. There's also information on the free support Ideas Lab has to offer to TV and radio producers, new media producers, and journalists. The interviewer for the Ideas Lab Predictor podcast was Lucy Vernal, and the producer was Andy Tootell.